See, you got to have an eye of faith. The Bible said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He saw something that the others couldn't see. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Lord, have mercy. By faith he forsook Egypt. He didn't want to be king. He wanted to obey God. He gave up everything. Listen to verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab, even an old harlot, a prostitute, perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace, she not only through faith, she says, I know God's going to give you this city. There was an impregnable defense had already been perfected with walls and gates and armaments. All they had to do to close the gates, them Israelites couldn't nowhere get there. They had no equipment to scale the wall. They had no weapons to breach the gates. They had no armies to terrify the inhabitants, except the fear of God fell on those inhabitants. And it still was not their sword, and it was not their might that broke the walls and the gates. It was faith. And this woman said to those two spies, said, I know God's given you this city, for the terror of you has fallen upon all the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because we heard what the Lord did when he opened the Red Sea for you. We heard what you did to Sihon and Og, the two giants, the kings of Bashan, and how you destroyed them. We heard how the Lord, we saw you and watched you, how the waters opened up and the Lord let you across Jordan on dry ground. Said, your fear has fallen upon all these nations. And I know the Lord's going to give you the city, but when he does, deal truly with thine handmaid, because I've hid you and spared your lives. And they said, hang the scarlet thread out of the window. And when we see it, get your family in these doors. And don't you go out. And when the walls fall, we'll save you. He said, that's agreed. Praise God, she hung that scarlet line that led them down to safety, also saved her house. She hung it in the window. Praise God. That woman saw something the average mind don't see through logic and rationalization and human reasoning and intellectuality and even common sense. She saw something there different. People listen to the word of God, but they don't do it and they deceive themselves. Faith results in fervent, feverish activity on the part of a Christian. Faith, you can see it a mile off. You can tell a person when they're walking in faith. You can tell them when they have confidence in God. You can tell them when they have completely resigned themselves to God in full trust to work out their lives, and everything I have belongs to the Lord. The early church, the Bible tells us, when they got together in Acts, here the fourth chapter, says in verse 32, the multitude of them that believed. See, those that had faith, those that were motivated by faith, they were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Then it tells here about one of the apostles. He was Barnabas. He had a piece of land and he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They did that by faith. See, Jesus had told them that it was God's good pleasure to give them the kingdom. That's a wonderful scripture. Luke 12, beginning in verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. Then if you believe that, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, and where no moth corrupteth. And then, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, if you put your treasure in the kingdom, then that's where your heart will be. If it don't, it'll be in that other place. So the Lord says, if you have real faith, then come on here and exercise it, and may it be manifested for my glory. So the church was a one mind and a one accord. Those that believed. Praise God. And I tell you, God's going to bring his believing people into that same unity with that same mind and that same oneness, that we'll be perfectly joined together, that there'll be no divisions among us, that we'll have care one for another and care one for another with this great love, which is that greater love which no man hath. Jesus said that he'd lay down his life for his friends. We find in first, this is one of the most beautiful things in the Bible. I love it. The man didn't turn out good, but the response was wonderful. In 1 Samuel, praise God, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 26, the great prophet Samuel had anointed Saul to be king over Israel, the first king. In verse 26, said, Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. The only way that man could have ever been put on that throne was to have this group of men that would back him, whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial, you know what the word of Belial means? It means to be worthless. Them old worthless Christians came around and said, how can this man save us? And they despised him and they brought him no presents, but he held his peace. It was only 3 years and he backslid. But God didn't thrust him out of his office. He stayed in that office a long time. He stayed in there 40 years. And David was anointed king, but yet he had to flee from Saul for many years. And how did David acquire the power of the throne? How did David even stay alive and survive the harassment of Saul, who hunted him as a flea and as a partridge upon the mountains? 1 Samuel 22, beginning in verse 1, tells how these men of faith saved David's life. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. See, God touched another band of men. And everyone, here's the ones that went to him, everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there went with him about 400 men. God touched their hearts. But they were all people that were distressed, in debt, and discontented. That's some group, isn't it? A fella told me this morning, I wish I had some money to give. I said, what in the world's wrong with you? He said, Lord, before I got to the Lord, got straightened out, I got so far in debt it takes about all my money. Well, he don't mean his tithes, but he means the most of it. So Brother Greg over here, he's only been straightened up with the Lord 2 or 3 weeks. He played foolish and got himself under bondage. So, Greg, welcome. Praise the Lord. Those that are in debt, discontented, or distressed, they were the men that followed David and preserved his life till God could get that man after his own heart in a position that he could bless many more people. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4, we read about the great man Saul, or Paul as his name was changed to. He had a struggle all through his ministry. The first few days that he was saved, they had to let him over a wall in a basket to preserve his life. Now, don't you think those men have a reward that let down that basket and manned the rope that kept Saul alive, that preserved him for posterity, for God to use? Of course they will. They manned the rope and let him over the wall, and God spared him through the people who had valiant hearts, who had faith enough to believe that Paul was God's servant, he was God's man, and God had laid his hand upon him to use him. So by faith, they've got a hold of the rope.